Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Well, we got Matt on hold, but go right on ahead.
I'll ask Matt as well.
Well, let me bring Matt in. Hold on.
Yeah. Matt, it's going to make me look bad. It's going to make us look bad. It's going to make me look bad.
Okay. Well, that's we're always down with that. Go ahead.
The Hard Knocks in general, I think, has gotten pretty boring. A few seasons were great because some behind-the-scenes stuff.
Don't admit this.
I'm going to admit that we were told to make a big deal out of Hard Knocks because it was Cleveland. And we were told to. I did, and I didn't really care for it. I didn't think it was any big deal. I didn't think we unearthed anything that crazy. In fact, I think the one thing that was unearthed is I still have a wild theory that they ended up hiring Freddie Kitchens based on a clip we saw on Hard Knocks. There, I said it.
Matt, your thoughts?
I thought that watching it, the one thing I do remember missing, you know, maybe it wasn't, in your face, but you could see the subtle function, the friction between Hugh Jackson and what was the guy that was the offensive coordinator, Todd Haley. You could see early days. And so I don't, in an organization running, I'd want all of that dirty laundry just for everybody's consumption. But, hey, it sells, I guess.
I remember, they had the final call, and Hugh thought it would make him look great. That's a real story. Okay, I want to bring this up again with Lima a little bit later on, but we got Matt on for a reason. STO is running games from the Indians' 22-game winning streak from 2017, which, Lima, that brings a hell of a comparison with you, where yesterday they showed a classic Bills-Patriots game, and Lima goes, "What game over the last 20 years could we show the Browns that people definitely would want to see on a national spotlight?" But here on STO, you guys are running the 22-game win streak. Have you been tuning in and checking out some of the memories that you had there, Matt?
I have watched bits and pieces here and there, but you know, we've had a lot of conversations, both on the air and behind the scenes, just asking, you know, thoughts. What do you remember? Certain games, certain moments, and it's been fun to just sort of go back and really, with a little bit of perspective of history. I know it's only a couple of years ago, but when you're in the middle of it, when you're calling the games every day, you don't really have the time to sit back and pause and reflect on it. And it has been fun to just really think back to how awesome that was to be part of a historical run that we very likely will never see again. I know my partner Rick Manning said, and why wouldn't you think that way? Because it's so ridiculous to go three straight weeks in Major League Baseball. At the time when I was in the moment, I was thinking, we just did this a year ago, 14 in a row. Now we've topped that with 22 in a row. And I guess maybe that's why it didn't blow my mind. There weren't a lot of close games until you got right there to the very end.
Boy, Matt, that's interesting because it shows you that we have been absolutely spoiled by some of these Indians teams. And when I hear some of the discontent from fans about going into the season, I have to remind them that, yeah, if Francisco Lindor is on this team this year, that this roster is still really good. It's still a team that can compete. Do you agree with that? Do you think this roster stacks up with some of the recent years?
I think it's a very good roster, not as good offensively on paper. Again, until you see him really go out and play, yeah, there are some issues that you know that Tito's going to have to deal with offensively. You know, they did add in the offseason, like, you know, they get the right-handed bat, Domingo Santana. You're hoping that Franmil Reyes with a full season as a Cleveland Indian really solidifies the middle of that lineup as well. But I'm looking for a big bounce-back year from Jose Ramirez, who scuffled last year. Same with Lindor, who was hurt early in the season last season. I think at second base, you know, Jason Kipnis was a good player for a long time, but, you know, he was starting to decline last year. And so, you know, they tried to upgrade that position in the offseason as well. But this team still, as in years past, will rise and fall on its pitching, in particular the starting pitching. And I like the starting rotation. I mean, losing Corey Kluber, obviously, you know, could be a huge void. But, you know, I think you look at Shane Bieber, what he did last year really took that quantum leap forward. Mike Clevenger, Carlos Carrasco. This is still a rotation that has some depth. I really like Zach Plesac, who just burst out of nowhere last year and took one of those spots in the rotation. Aaron Civale is another young guy with a lot of upside. Adam Plutko. So I think they have good starting pitching and good depth in that starting pitching. And if they can use the similar formula that the 22-game win streak team did, which was get the early lead, turn it over to a bullpen that could be very much improved from a year ago. And in the shortened season, that's what we're talking about. Let's not beat around the bush. We're talking about basically half of a season. Every game takes on a little more, bit more added importance. And I think what we have seen from Terry Francona in his time in Cleveland is that as a manager, he almost manages better in these situations, what we call high leverage situations. That's when he's at his best.
Matt Underwood joining us, Indians play-by-play man on STO. Matt, does the delay with the season, if there's an 82, and we'll get into some of that stuff here in a moment, but does the delay maybe help the pitching staff because of the injuries that happened in spring training?
Certainly couldn't hurt, because you're right. I mean, we weren't really sure going into the start of the season. When we left in the middle of March there, we weren't sure, you know, where Clevenger and Carrasco were going to be. It didn't look like either one of them were going to be ready to start the season. So now you take the time back, and those guys look like they're ready. Obviously, you're going to lose Emmanuel Clase, who was suspended, which is really disappointing, because you're talking about a guy who can throw 100 miles an hour, and that's an arm they were really counting on. So you won't have that. That hopefully is going to help James Karinchak become a guy that has an opportunity now to be one of those key setup people in the back end of the bullpen. Brad Hand has been tremendous in that closer's role, but you're going to need some bridge builders between the starters and the closer. And that's maybe, Ken, the most important thing, is that with this restart, and again, we're hoping and praying this is all going to work out, but if you do restart the season, if it's 3 weeks of getting guys ready, or maybe 4 weeks, you know, the pitchers might not be where you want them to be, so you're going to need that bullpen. And they're talking about potentially some expanded rosters, so you're going to need some more arms to help pull up some of the slack from the starters, at least at the start of this, at the restart of this season.
Matt Underwood joined us on the hotline. We were talking about Francisco Lindor recently. We've had other writers, other pundits around Major League Baseball call up and say it's formality. He's going to get traded at some point. Now it's a half a season. What do you think is the way, or how do you think this plays out, Matt?
Anthony, I feel the same way about these people that make all this noise as I do about the people who try to predict the NFL season in May. Okay, let it play out. We don't know what's going to happen. Honest to gosh, we don't. Until Francisco Lindor comes out and says, I'm not staying, or I want to be traded, or I'm going to sign a long-term deal, let's just let the doggone thing play out. He's got all of, well, whatever's left of this season, let's hope, and then you've got all of next year, too. And will Chris Antonetti entertain offers? Of course he will. Every general manager in baseball is going to listen. But I look at it like this. He's obviously one of the best players in the game, one of the top talents, both on and off the field for an organization. So is there a desire on the Indians side to try and keep him? Yes, and I think they had some discussions in earnest about trying to do just that. But they both said at some point, and maybe it was Frankie's people that said, hey, you know, after this date, let's not talk anymore. Let's get into baseball mode. We're not going to negotiate during the season. That's not anything new. And they'll at some point come back and revisit these conversations, and we'll see. But I'm not going to get all caught up in the, is he staying, is he going, is he going to get traded? I mean, who knows? Nobody saw this pandemic coming, so let's not get too caught up in the things that we literally have no control over.
What's your thoughts on a universal DH for the entire year?
I think I'm okay with it, especially in this you know, this is a great litmus test. You know, if you want to try anything, hell, why not try it during this potentially shortened season. Rick and I have talked about this. I think I've definitely come to the point where it makes sense. Let's just have a universal DH and stop monkeying around with pitchers trying to hit when they don't hit most of the year anyway. And even in the National League, when they hit all the time, they're still not very good at hitting.
I agree. Usually people just get upset about it, and I go, well, wait a minute. It's not even just when they're in the minors, they're not hitting. In high school, some of them aren't hitting. I know they have, like, the EH in certain places. You would know better than I would. It's like, man, they're paid to pitch. They're not paid to hit. What's the point? Just you're giving up a free out.
Yeah, and especially, you know, I mean, we've seen it over the years. You know, Jarrett Wright way back in the 90s busts his finger trying to bunt. I remember Fausto Carmona going down the first baseline in Cincinnati, almost destroyed his leg one time. There's just too many goofy things that can happen when you put a guy in a position where he's not comfortable. He's doing something that he hasn't done. And I know the old school hardliners are going to say, anybody ought to be able to get up there, swing a bat, put a bunt down. These guys aren't paid. They're not trained to do that. So let's just get rid of it. Go to the universal DH. I'd be fine with that. I don't think I've – now, the seven-inning doubleheader deal – that might be a little harder to digest if, in fact, that is something that is being considered. I thought that was a little odd. You know, in Little League and in Pony League, I think we played seven-inning games. But, hey, I just don't know how that would fly if you're talking about trying to get as many games in and you're talking about seven-inning doubleheaders. That would be a little strange. I'm not sure.
Matt, don't you have people to see sometimes in other cities or dinner plans? Don't you want to move on? You've had to have a game that you were looking forward to, a game you were hoping they were just moving them along. Let's get a big strike zone. I've got the, you know, the prime 112 ready to roll at the end of this, and then all of a sudden you're in inning 16 going, well, maybe next trip.
It never fails. Usually when that happens, Anthony, is I'm at home. We'll be at home. And, you know, yesterday was Sunday was my birthday. And so, you know, we were having plans and, you know, Mother's Day. It's usually those kind of things where you have a home game and say, well, the game should be 3 hours. That's 4:00. We'll invite people over 5, 6 o'clock should be good. And then you're sitting there and it's the 14th inning and you're going, well, guess that's not happening tonight, but oh, well.
All right, Matt, we saw Mike Clevenger had said something to the effect a few weeks ago about maybe an asterisk by whoever wins the World Series this year. Don't we have to get out of that line of thinking? If we're going to be excited for sports to come back, we have to accept the champion, don't we?
Heck yeah. And, I mean, I know you guys are a little younger, but do either one of you remember the 1981 season?
No.
So that's you know, when I was a kid, I was in Pony League. I was in junior high school. Baseball was like, all sports were everything in my life at that point. That was a season that was interrupted in the middle of the season by a strike. Almost cost Cleveland the All-Star game until they settled the strike and came back in August, and that's when they played the All-Star game. It was a split season. They played, I want to say, roughly around ultimately 80-some-odd games because they had started the season and then had this two-month gap in the middle and then finished it. They did a split season, so whoever was in first place when the strike happened, they won the first half. And now we had a free-for-all in the second half, and then those two teams would meet in the postseason. I don't think people remember, as time goes on, that was a split season, that was not a full 162-game Major League season, just as they don't remember that 1995 was also technically an abbreviated season. So I get it in the here and now. You're like, wow, this is not a full baseball season. We're cheated. This isn't the real deal. Who cares? We need something. We, as a people, we, as a human race, we need our sports. We need something to divert our attention from, you know, the awful mess that we're in right now. And if baseball can be the leader in doing that as they were after 9/11, I think that would be fantastic. And if it's a shortened season, then it's a shortened season, but it'll give us something. It'll get us on the road to recovery. I guess that's the best way I can put it.
Matt, I can't thank you enough for the time, buddy. All the very best to you and yours. And again, we'll keep watching the 22-game streak that's going on STO right now.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. And to you and all your listeners, stay strong out there, and let's hopefully collectively we'll be back and better than ever very soon.
Absolutely. Matt, take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Matt Underwood, STO on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It would be fitting, like the Indians for the first time in 72 years win a World Series, and it happens during this season. Like,
let's
it would
go.
Be the most fitting thing ever.
Let's go. Let's pick it up. Let's get the hardware. I am intrigued. We kind of said this earlier in the show, but I'm very intrigued on whether or not fans feel, and I know fans are so down right now over the Lindor stuff, but if you knew Lindor was going to be here the whole year, then is there any part of you saying, all right, let's steal one. Let's steal one. Maybe we couldn't have done it over 162, but we can definitely do it over 80-some games. We get hot.
I would justify it over the fact that just going, well, we think that they would have won in 94, or at least they would have had a great shot in 94. Like, as good a shot as you're going to have
during the
94 season with the lockout, that we were robbed of an opportunity to win a World Series then. Maybe this is the bookend of that. Now, I think there'd be plenty of people going, well, you know, it's a season, da-da-da-da. I don't know.
I'm
sure we would justify it in any way possible, and rightfully so,
yeah.
Your fan base.
Yeah, we would. We'll take any title by any means necessary. I just know this, that you can look back in some of those seasons, like 2017, and you know, it's not like fans were totally filling the ballpark all year. So I always kind of laughed. I'm like, can you imagine if this team ends up winning it all? I've said that with random Indians years when it's not like the fans were there all year until the very end. And would that be all that different than, all right, we just played 81 games this year? Okay, well, we're all in it. We're all in it. Imagine if the
That's
Indians
true.
Get off to a great start. Imagine if somehow, some way, they're like 20-7, 20-6 to start the year. Like, we can already see the light at the end of the tunnel there. It's like, let's go. Let's hold on to this. And do we make trades? And do we expand the payroll at a one-time chance to win this championship over a shortened season? I think that would create some very, very interesting conversations.
216-578-0092. When we come back, I got to rip you about the Hard Knocks thing. I got to go after you about that. Also, we do the Would You Rather update. There's something about selling tickets that got brought up, which I didn't like, according to our argument that we had earlier. And maybe, to save baseball, maybe we do hope the players dig their heels in. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.